Neutral plus attention equals pleasant.
It happens, yes. Can also happen the other way sometimes too. Like some people, they might notice something like that, and then they might be a bit frightened or confused by it. And what's this? What's going on here? And then maybe that triggers off an unpleasant feeling tone too. Yeah. But if you can be relaxed with it, and there still is enough clarity and calmness. Yeah, becomes more like the neutral feeling tone can become, as it were, equanimity. You know, it gets changed from a neutral to, as it were, a spiritual power then.
And if it transforms into equanimity, then does that have the pleasant feeling?
Yep, there's a feedback to it. You know? Can be a feedback. Yeah, but you see that the lesson in there is how unsubstantial the feeling tones are, you see? You begin to understand the processes with feeling tones. I mean, if you have a pleasant feeling tone and you want to hold on to it, it becomes unpleasant, yeah, because of the grasping of it or the trying to maintain it or sustain it, becoming unpleasant then. You just have to back off and just allow it to be. And it rises and passes away and you have very little control over them. But if you notice the interrelationships, the causal processes involved there, you can tune into them and leave your ego out of it. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, you notice that principle now, see? Yeah. So then it's a spiritual power. It can be a spiritual power now and a beneficial thing. So you recognize there's a skillful cause and effect process going on there. Well, that's worth giving a bit more attention to, or energizing it, or allowing it to be. Give it more space in your experience. Yes. Yes. But you may notice, if you pay attention to the pleasant feeling tone, there can be a feedback loop there too. And even with the unpleasant.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just an unpleasant feeling tone. That's all it is. And then it could be quite pleasant, you know, joyful or pleasant even. Oh, that's just an unpleasant feeling tone. So what? Big deal, you know. End of story. Well, almost end of story.
There, I find what's happened to me is that the mind state can become quite joyful,
yep,
in the presence of an unpleasant,
yep,
tone, as opposed,
yep,
to the tone itself.
Yep.
Should it be the mind state?
Yep. Yep. They're all kind of interrelated, you see, and there is no thing called the mind. It's mental processes, and they're all feeding back into each other, but you get more and more clarity with regard to the interrelationships and how they affect each other. That's wisdom. Then you don't do it or create it. You just align yourself with the principles of cause and effect, and it happens, you know. Your mind is intrinsically more spacious, and Buddhist said the mind is intrinsically luminous. But then I want it to be a certain way, and then I distort the luminosity. But we get ourselves out of the way, that's the way it is.
the first four. when I play with them in meditation, I can eventually get to the intuition of it. I want to shut from them down.
Mm-hmm.
By intuition. But when I think about doubt and the explanation you gave, like, this, it's doubt is like kind of like a fate about the Buddha's teaching. And I don't see the intuition in that. Like, it's not enough. Like, where is the intuitive quality of doubt? That's something I'm not perhaps saying.
Yep.
Could you elaborate?
Yeah. Well, there's various forms of doubt, or doubt takes various forms for different individuals. For some people, it's just confusion. You know, they're just confused. That's sort of their natural way of relating to uncertainty or something, or life, confused about it. And sometimes perplexity. Sometimes it is, you can actually say, what do you doubt? What are you uncertain about? And there's something more specific, like skeptical doubt about the Buddha's teachings. Other times it's just lack of clarity, uncertainty, don't know, dullness, you know, sort of thing. Unclarity or lack of certainty, or
I'm leaning towards like a catch-all category. Like, if it's not one of the four,
then it's doubt. Not one. I don't know what it is, but it's not those four.
Yeah,
doubt. It's doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still looking for an intuitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a difficulty with doubt. Yeah? It's not one of your favorite hindrances.
No.
Yeah. So some people are not naturally. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, some people have, you know, their specialty is one or the other hindrance. You know, that's their real, they say, that's their particular thing, you know. You don't have to have all of them. Or at this point, at this point, maybe it's not really prominent, maybe it's not very clear to you, you know. Like, I don't know much about restlessness myself, I must admit. That's why it's the shortest chapter. It's not my thing, but I had to cover all five, so.
One last thing. About drowsiness, when I experience it, it's like a sudden drop. Like, I can almost feel my entire head like hitting the floor. Like, it goes like this. And it's like a...
like a collapse. I didn't hear anything. You haven't got any blood on your head yet. What's before that? Do you notice what's before that? Are you really lucid and really clear in your mind, or is it creep up on you, and then you get to a point where you just go fall over the precipice, or can you notice the energy slowly depleting, or is it just boom, gone like that? But before that, you're reasonably energized or reasonably clear. Yeah. Don't know. There's doubt there.
You have
to look at that one again. Yeah. See, there may be mentally, there may be dullness, lethargy in the mind, and then suddenly, physically, it manifests physically then, poop. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, you're just exhausted by it. Yeah.
So,
I mean that's the kind of response that somebody who emphasizes much willpower, say, so they're really like this, and then they just collapse like that. You know, and sometimes it's so obvious, you know, you just, somebody's sitting there and then suddenly, you know, just all over the place. Yeah. And then they click themselves again, willpower, sit there again. That's sort of the dynamic of it. Whereas other people, they it's a much more gentle approach. You know, they just kind of going off into dreamland. You know, yeah. And there was not every time either, because there was one monk that I had to sit next to, and as soon as the meditation began, he slumped. And I thought, he's asleep. And because he was the senior monk to me, then when the senior monk was giving a talk, at the end of the talk, he has to say a little recite something, you see. So I was wondering, should I wake him up, or should I just do it myself, you know? What should I do, you know? And every time when the senior monk said, "And I leave that for your reflection," he, "Andamayang." So he wasn't asleep. I don't know what state he was in, but he wasn't asleep. But he looked like it, because the head was right on his chest. But he obviously wasn't unconscious. So it's hard to judge sometimes. And there's, you know, there is, maybe we identify with a certain level of clarity or wakefulness. You know, this is meditation, and anything else, a bit dull, a bit, you know, not so clear, is not meditation or something. But consciousness is a range of different levels of consciousness. See, in Buddhism, even sleep is called consciousness, called sleep consciousness. But it's not unconscious. See, in Western psychology, they say if you're asleep, you're unconscious. But in Buddhism, they say you're still conscious. There's still consciousness there to some degree. And sometimes, even if you're listening to a teaching, you could maybe even understand at a deeper level if you aren't so self-conscious. Your self-consciousness is filtering and judging, usually. That's an intelligent thing to say. I don't believe that. That's stupid, you know. But if you're a little bit, your conscious, not so related to self-consciousness, still a little bit, you know, a little bit less energy in self-consciousness, you're still hearing. And it sinks in, or it comes in deeper level in your mind. It's like sometimes dreams can be sometimes more clear to you than your waking consciousness sometimes. Oh, I get that. I understand that. You know, it's like a different level of consciousness to see a different overall picture rather than details. And there's no judgment there. So it doesn't mean, if you're unconscious and banging your head on the floor, well, that might be dangerous. Put a pillow there. But maybe if I come back again, I ask you about if you have doubt then, maybe later. You don't rush into having all five of them at once. Doubt. Well, first of all, if you investigate what kind of doubt you have, is it skeptical doubt about the Buddha's teachings, or doubt about yourself, or yeah? I mean, self-doubt. I would say that there's a couple of hindrances that have become prominent these days because our emphasis upon thinking. And because we think about ourselves a lot, then we're going to doubt ourselves. If more self-doubt, because we think about ourselves, and thinking will never solve all, won't reach the truth. You know, conceptual thought is only one small window on reality. It won't. You never get beyond doubt by thinking. You have also lots of information, but you won't get to the end of doubt by thinking. You know, this is where the emphasis is on experiential knowledge. You know, the Buddha said there's three kinds of knowledge. There's what you hear about, what you think about, and what you experience in meditation. And that wisdom experience in meditation is the best one, is the only one to realize the truth. But thinking and, you know, hearing other people give you suggestions and stuff is not going to resolve your doubt, because you really don't know yet yourself. You haven't had a personal experience yet. So maybe meditation is the best way, but maybe you need to develop the meditation exercise within the context of, you know, doubt is a particular theme for you to work on. What do you doubt? How does it manifest? The studying at first is the most useful thing, and then maybe you can expand your investigation to, okay, what's triggering it off, you know? If you think, I've got to know, you're going to have doubt all the time. Because I, my ego, can't know everything. Because the truth is not self, which I can't know. Huh? But not I can know. When I went to Thailand, I had been at university for a while, so I thought I was going to go there and learn about Buddhism. But after a while, I realized that I was not going to be able to understand everything. So then I got used to not knowing, and that was much more peaceful. But to think that I have to know everything, like, you know, in university, you got to know to pass the exam, right? You got to know to put the answer on the exam paper to get to pass your class. But in spiritual practice, I realized I didn't know. There is a quality of knowing, but when the ego tried to hold on to it or grasp it or identify with it, didn't work, killed it. But there is a quality of knowing without a knower, if you like. If you can figure that one out. And that was more immediate, more in tune with the present moment. The knowing of the knower is already past, you see. But the knowing is in the moment, dynamic process. This is how it is right now, just like this, physically, mentally. There's a few more suggestions in my book.
What was that website you said that you look like?
Forasanghapublications.org. The books. Yeah. Yep. It's for free download. We have some very generous supporters in Malaysia, Singapore, and Australia that offered to print all our publications for the next 5 years. So I'm rushing to get my 12 books finished. But I got to do the work, so I won't get them finished then. Yes. Slow can slow down a lot. Can even stop. But you know, many of these are habit tendencies we developed. You see, we trained our mind to do that unconsciously or consciously. I mean, you know, some people are sort of, you know, worry types, and so they've trained their mind to keep looking over all the different possibilities, could be this, could be that, and, you know, and now it catches up to them. You know. So as any habit, you've developed it, it'll take some time to uncondition it, to decondition it. So, but patience, perseverance is the best way to proceed. It's probably one of the best virtues, patience and continuity. Yeah, little by little, and then begin to notice yourself after a while. Oh, I don't proliferate quite so much. And then don't proliferate so much. Gee, proliferation's gone. I feel lonely. Who am I going to talk to? You know that. Yeah, who are you talking to? Yeah. Yeah. But then when you notice that it's the same story every time, I mean, and get tired of it, okay, I've been there, done that, okay, put on a new tape, will you? Then you get tired of it. It's too much energy, too much effort. just abide in the emptiness, peace, quiet, silence of the mind.